and filed with the clerk on the same date.
Okay, thank you. Would everyone please stand and join us as you can for the flag salute? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
All right. Thank you.
Excuse me for just a moment. Mr. Morris, can you record the meeting for me, please, right now?
Already being
that would be at the bottom of the screen.
It's already being recorded, Pam.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Next up, Pam, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Chairman Newman.
Yes.
Ms. Oxley. She is absent. Mr. Pato. He is absent. Mr. Pepe. He is absent. Ms. Penny is absent. Mr. Ziner.
Here.
Ms. Curtis.
Here.
Ms. Arpaia.
Yes.
And Deputy Mayor, excuse me, Grabalia.
Yes.
Pam. Yes. Pam.
Hold on, I'm not done.
Pam.
Yes.
Pam.
Oh, Tom is here.
Pam.
Tom is here.
Tom's here.
Tom's here. Okay. Tom is here. I'm sorry. Mr. Beck?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. First item on our agenda is approval of the minutes from our June 10th meeting.
Before you go to that, Mitch, if I could, I understand that we have two individuals, one who is present, one who is not, who are taking a different position on the planning board. So, Ms. Curtis, I would like to swear in to her new position as Class 2 member. So if I could, Ms. Curtis, you are there?
Yes, I am here.
All right. Would you raise your right hand and repeat after me, I, and state your name?
I, Stacy Curtis.
Solemnly swear or affirm?
Solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States?
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey?
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance.
I'll bear true faith and allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
And to the governments established.
And to the governments established.
In the United States and in this state.
In the United States and in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And if you wish to add, so help me God.
And so help me God.
I do further solemnly swear or affirm.
I do solemnly swear and affirm.
That I will impartially.
I will impartially.
And justly perform.
And justly perform.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
Of Class 2 Planning Board Member.
Of Class 2 Planning Board Member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Very good. You're in.
Thank you.
Mike, was there another bit of procedural business, or was that it?
That was it. Ms. Penny is also appointed to a different position, but she's not present for me to swear her in.
Okay, thank you. With that, we'll move on to the approval of minutes, and Pam had distributed the June 10th meeting minutes. Would someone like to make a motion to adopt?
I'll move it.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, any comments or suggested revisions? Seeing none, Pam, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Ziner?
Yes.
Mr. Beck?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Grabalia?
Yes.
And Chairman Newman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next on our agenda is public comment portion. Is there anyone from the public who's in the meeting today that would like to comment on anything that's not otherwise scheduled for public discussion? So I don't see anybody raising a hand or speaking up, so I will assume there are none and we'll close the public comment portion. Pam, just confirm, you didn't see any hands raised or anything?
No, and the other parties that are on there, I believe they're for the NOVAD application, so no, I have not.
Okay, thank you. All right, next up is the memorialization of Resolution P20-05, which is the Riverside Center, Block 18, Lot 2.03. Pam had previously distributed that resolution. Would someone like to make a motion to memorialize?
I'll move it. Grabelia.
Thank you, Nancy. Is there a second?
Second, Ziner.
Okay, thank you. Any comments or suggested revisions? Seeing none, Pam, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Deputy Mayor Grabelia?
Yes.
Mr. Ziner?
Yes.
Mr. Beck?
Yes.
And Chairman Newman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next up on our agenda is review and recommendation of Ordinance 20-22. And I'm going to turn it over to McKinley and ask her if she would walk us through this and then give us her conclusion as to whether it is or is not consistent with the master plan. Thank you.
Sure. So I'll start by reading the title of the ordinance into the record. Ordinance number 20-22. An ordinance amending Chapter 35, Land Use and Development Regulations, Article 3, Administration and Procedures, Section 3-9, Fees and Fee Schedule, Subsection 3-9.4, Fee Schedule, of the Revised General Ordinance of the Township of Moonstone, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey. So what this ordinance does is it updates the fee schedule that the township uses to When applications come in, the application fees and the escrow fees, the schedule hasn't been updated in at least 10 years. And the fees that the township has been charging potential applicants are, they're very low compared to what we've seen in other towns. And I know that there has been consistent efforts to continuously ask for additional escrow from applicants as it depletes quite quickly. As you can see, if you have the draft or the introduced version in front of you, you can see where the changes are.
I can bring that ordinance up if you need me to.
I don't know if anyone's interested in looking.
No, Pam had distributed it, so I believe
those of us
that wanted to take a look have already seen it. So
great. So you're aware you've seen that more than half of the fees have been updated to bring it up to standard. This is really less of a zoning matter than it is a administrative matter, and I do think it was long outdated, long overdue for an update. I do think it's consistent with the master plan. That is my opinion, as it's going to continue to allow applications to move forward. It's going to allow things to flow a little better because there won't be a constant re-asking for more money. Applicants will be more aware of what's expected from them up front. It'll reduce all of the extra paperwork that the administrative staff has to go through and help the boards be a little more efficient on this front. So it's my opinion that it's consistent. However, I am going to offer two recommended edits to the introduced version. The first recommended edit is really just a typo. Under section one, it notes that the correct subsection 3-9.4 is to be amended, but then beneath that in bold, there is a typo and it lists 3-9.7, and there is no 3-9.7. That should read 3-9.4. So that's a simple typo that can be corrected in time for the public hearing on this. The second edit that I'm recommending is within the fee schedule itself, under the updated fees for preliminary major site plan approval for non-residential development, there was a clause that was added to both the application fee and the escrow fee of a do not exceed number. Mr. Stibe pointed out that do not exceed number is actually contradicting a previous paragraph in the ordinance. It contradicts 3-9.3B, as in boy, which puts an escrow cap at $75,000. So the section 3-9.3B is the correct one. So we don't want to contradict that in our fee schedule. So the recommendation is to remove that from the escrow side that caps that. But those are the only two edits I have. With that, as I said, I deem it consistent, and I pass it back to the board.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments from any of the board members or other professionals?
I have one comment. McKinley, you said the rates prior were lower than other municipalities. How do these new rates compare with other municipalities? Are we on par or are we still below?
These are competitive with other municipalities. I think they're on par.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Unless there's anything else, I would suggest that we would be in position to call for a motion to confirm that the ordinance is consistent with the master plan, subject to or conditioned upon the two proposed edits or revisions that McKinley talked about, number one being the typo in section one, and second, the clarification as to the do not exceed contradiction. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'll move it. Arpaia.
Okay, okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further comments?
I'm sorry, is that second, Ms. Curtis?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Seeing no other comments, Pam, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Arpaia?
Yes.
Excuse me, Ms. Curtis?
Yes.
Mr. Pato?
Yes.
Mr. Ziner?
Yes.
Mr. Beck?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Grabalia?
Yes.
And Chairman Newman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Pam, before we go to the next matter, new application, Novad Court, just want to confirm the status of the one after that, in case somebody's here for that, P19-02, the Babbitt application. Can you
I don't know if Attorney Stibe wants to address that.
I can address it, Mr. Chairman. We received an email from the applicant indicating that they didn't properly notice for this meeting, and B, that they're extending the time within which to act until the end of September, and we're going to place them on the September meeting. They're not going to be heard this evening because there was no notice. They will have to notice for the September meeting.
Okay. All right, so we're not carrying anything. They'll do a new notice.
That's correct.
All right, got it. Okay, so then the next and remaining item on our agenda is P20-01 Novad Court LLC, Block 57.01, Lot 19.03, 35 Pine Drive. Is there someone here on behalf of the applicant?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's Kenneth Pape of the firm Heilbrun Pape.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, before we proceed, I can advise the board that I've reviewed the service in connection with the application. Service is in order, and the board does have jurisdiction to hear the case. And I'm aware of the following exhibits that the board has received with this application. The applicant's exhibits are A1, which is the jurisdictional packet. Exhibit A2 is an application dated January 14, 2020. Exhibit A3 is a survey prepared by Crest Engineering that's dated April 22, 2019. Exhibit A4 is a color aerial prepared by Crest Engineering dated December 10, 2019. Exhibit A5 is a preliminary and final major site plan prepared by Crest Engineering. That's dated December 10, 2019, consisting of 9 sheets. Exhibit A6 are architecturals prepared by Perez and Radosti. They're dated December 18, 2019. Exhibit A7 is a traffic report prepared by McDonough and Ray. That's dated December 31, 2019. Exhibit A8 is an historic pesticide and soil contaminant test report prepared by Crest Engineering. That's December 10, 2019. Exhibit A9 is a stormwater management report prepared by Crest Engineering. That's dated December 10, 2019. Exhibit A10 is an environmental impact statement prepared by Crest Engineering. That is also dated December 10, 2019. Exhibit A11 is a supplement to the environmental impact statement prepared by Crest Engineering. That's dated March 9, 2020. Exhibit A12 is a display color landscape prepared by Crest Engineering. That's dated April 6, 2020. Exhibit A13 is a color rendering of a proposed building prepared by Perez and Radosti, sheet 1 of 2.
Exhibit A14 is a color rendering of the proposed site prepared by Perez and Radosti, sheet 2 of 2. Exhibit A15 is a digital sample board prepared by Perez and Radosti, dated May 29, 2020. Exhibit A16 is a supplemental environmental impact statement prepared by Crest Engineering, revised through June 1, 2020. In addition, we have board exhibits, which are PB1, that's a report of your board engineer, dated March 17, 2020. Exhibit PB2 is a report of your planner, that's dated May 4, 2020. PB3 is a report from the fire department, that's dated February 5, 2020. Exhibit PB4 is a report of the Environmental Commission, that's dated February 25, 2020. Exhibit PB5 is a Monmouth County Planning Board report dated February 10, 2020. Exhibit PB6 is a report from the Shade Tree Commission dated July 8, 2020. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of thus far that the board has received in connection with the application.
Mr. Chair, may I begin? Mr. Chair, may I begin?
Yes, of course. Thank you. I was struggling with my mute button.
Am I coming through clearly, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And board members?
Yes.
Thank you. I very much appreciate the courtesy that's being extended to me, and I apologize for being inept and not being able to get into the Zoom conference on video. This application is a request by the property owners to build a two-story building. The first floor is proposed to be retail and the second floor to be office. Your applicants are the Chavones, Tony and Anthony, father and son, own and operate Seasonal World across the street. And it's their goal to create their corporate headquarters on the second floor, that would be the office, and they have a showroom on the first floor. The building is designed to be malleable so that in the future, if they're not the users of the building, it would be office upstairs and general retail on the second floor. And all of the elements of the building and the parking lot have been designed to accommodate that use. The application will be presented to you by Lorelei Totten of Crest Engineering. He is responsible for the plans that are before you. And Steve Radosti, the architect who prepared the architectural plans. My intention was to introduce Lorelei Totten and have her credentials placed before the board and for her to do a brief overview of the application and then to go through some of the technical elements of the application.
Okay, hold on, let me bring up the aerial.
And then to address the planning board staff reports and to do the same with Mr. Radosti. Mr. Chair, is that an acceptable procedure?
Yes, that's acceptable. Mr. Pape and Lorelei has appeared before this board and has been qualified as a professional engineer, so her qualifications are acceptable.
If you would, her qualifications include professional planner, and she has been so qualified. If you could acknowledge that credential, or if you'd like to hear those credentials, we can place them on the record.
No, that is satisfactory as well. Nothing further needed.
Excuse me, Mr. Morris, can you please bring up Exhibit A4 for Ms. Totten? Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Pate.
No, thank you. So I'm going to ask if Lorelei Totten, having been qualified as an engineer and planner, began her presentation just with a simple overview of the property's location, the property's zone, and a simple statement of what the proposed development plan includes.
Don't mind, I'd like to swear her in first.
That's a good idea.
Ms. Totten, do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Name and address.
Lorelei Totten, 100 Wright Drive, Millstone Township, New Jersey. Okay, so referring to Exhibit A4, which is the aerial, to give you the overview of the site, it is a 3.59-acre parcel located in the HC1 zone where the required area is 3 acres. It is trapezoidal or in shape, and does have an existing minimum lot depth variance where 50 feet is required of 304.5 feet. It is located at the intersection of Pine and Novad Court. Across the street from it are Burger King and McDonald's, as well as it's not too far from Seasonal World. Across Novad on the corner is another industrial development. There are along the north side is the UP, the RUP zone, and that abuts this property. It is mostly wooded right now and drains generally from Novad Court in a westerly direction and a little bit to the north as well, to a ditch that's located along the northern property line, and a wetlands area that's along the western property line. The proposal is to construct a two-story building of just under 16,000 square feet. The first story will be, as Mr. Pape indicated, a showroom. The second floor will be for office. And as he indicated, we've tried to design it for the current use by the owner, plus everybody's always interested in what's going to happen when this owner is maybe wants to sell the building so that it can be used as retail in accordance with the permitted uses of the zone. There are 78 parking spaces, plus we're proposing to bank 14 others to meet the requirement of 92 parking spaces. The lighting plan is provided. We're asking for a slight waiver from that. The average zone, I guess we should switch over to the rendering. I'm apologizing. A12 is the rendering landscape plan, which will give you a closer view of what I'm talking about now.
As we're waiting for A12 to be up before the board, you could point out that the lighting request is for a waiver to allow an average of 1.0-foot candles, where 0.5 is the ordinance standard. If you just take us through that proof.
Yes. So the area where the average is the highest is in the middle of the parking spaces. And as soon as this is rotated, I'll tell you where. In the parking spaces that front along Pine Street. So it's Pine Street, parking spaces, drive aisle, parking spaces. In there, it's a little bit higher than the required the requirements. However, when you get to the property line itself, it drops to the maximum is 0.3 in the access onto Pine, with most of it being around 0.1, which is more less than what's permitted at the boundary of the property. Plus, there's house side shields along all of the perimeter. And the purpose is to provide enough light in the parking lot for the ability to see when walking from the building to the cars. And to the rear, it's all wooded. There are no lights except for over the doors and on the rear of the building. So it will not impact the neighborhood at all, will not harm the zone and zone plan. So we believe that the benefits of a little bit of additional lighting, slightly greater than the average required, outweigh the detriments because it does not spread off of the site.
Ms. Totten, I'm sorry, we cannot shift this or rotate this. I apologize.
Okay. I think it's a big, it's got a lot of magnites to it. So
interrupt for just 1 second. Laurel, just 1 second.
Yes, sorry.
Would you share with the board the design of the light fixture? I know that these are recessed lights, they're LED lights, but if you could just place all that on the record for the board.
Yes. The lights are shielded from the top as well so that there's no glow upwards. their they have the light side shields, their LED, which is what is commonly used.
Right click on the picture to counter.
It's they're well designed to shine the light only in the direction where it's needed, which is downward and towards the parking lot.
Okay, thank you. If you could take us through the other elements of the plan, including a little bit on the parking lot design, the distribution of the parking, and the circulation that takes place in the parking lot.
Yes. Still referring to the landscaping plan. So as the board sees the landscaping rendered plan right now, Pine is on the left side and Novak Court is down to the bottom of the sheet, just for your orientation purposes. So there's an entrance on Novak Court, which comes in close to the edge of the property, and you're allowed to have circulation that continues through the property across parallel to Pine Street and out to the other entrance on Pine Street, or you can reverse that. And it's a double-sided parking lot with it evenly distributed around three sides of the building. And it allows for it's accessible to emergency vehicles, including fire trucks. If a larger truck got in, it wouldn't be easy, but it could get out. So it provides adequate access for the required vehicles that will use this site.
And Laurel, if I may, as part of being prepared for this meeting, Mr. Chair and members of the board, we met with the fire officials and went over this plan with them and asked for their input. There was a written report rendered by the fire officials. That written report was issued February 5th. We have had an opportunity to review it, Ms. Totten and I have. And Ms. Totten, if you could share with the board that all of the requirements of the fire officials set forth in the February 5th letter are acceptable to the applicant and will be incorporated into the final plan.
Yes, we will be able to incorporate their comments, which it generally consists of providing the correct striping and signage and areas of no parking, which is in the middle of the aisles. And just to point out, we were providing banked parking as well, just to so that we come up with a proper amount of parking spaces.
And let's talk about bank parking. I know that this board and the board's professionals are familiar with the concept. You have 78 active parking stalls. Is it your opinion and the opinion of our clients that is adequate parking for the anticipated uses of this property?
Yes, it is. The parking is based upon a calculation of the square footage, and the lower floor is going to be used for as a showroom, which means large portions of it aren't going to be office, and there's no differentiation in the ordinance for a showroom versus office, so we feel that it's more than adequate for the proposed uses.
And comes the day, sometime in the future, that this is no longer a showroom, but it's retail, and the full parking requirement is 92. You have designed 14 additional parking spaces on the property. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we're asking for permission not to pave them, not to install them at this time, but to have a commitment to install them if at any time in the future the township feels that they are necessary, correct?
That is correct.
Terrific. Maybe we'll move on to the landscaping part of the design, if you could share that with the board. And the appropriate exhibit before the board?
Yes, it is A12, which is the rendered landscaping plan. And as the board can see from the rendered landscaping plan, there are a variety of deciduous and other types of trees, ornamental trees, as well as shrubs that are proposed around the detention basin, around the perimeter of the site, as well as foundation plantings and There's going to be an area for people to sit outside in the upper right-hand corner of the building where there's a little bit of a cutout at that location where the concrete sidewalk is not parallel to the building.
Lorelei, can I please interrupt? Sorry, yes. this is Mitch. So just show me or explain to me, where is this banked, unpaved future parking? If I missed it, I apologize.
It is not actually located on this plan, but the entrance off of Novad Court, along that area, all the way up, additional parking can be provided along that area.
On street parking on Novad Court?
Not on Novad. It's the entrance off of Novad as it goes in towards the building. Parking along that area, that's the area where parking could be installed.
Lorelei, sorry, they would be perpendicular spaces coming off that driveway. Is that the plan?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, perpendicular spaces.
Members of the board, we had the opportunity, your professionals were gracious and agreed to meet with us about a month ago to go over the staff report, and the amount of banked parking, the concept of banked parking, and the location were all discussed with them. And it's based on those discussions that we make the offer of banked parking tonight.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. May we go to a landscaping discussion?
Yes, there were certain comments regarding landscaping. We've reviewed those, and we can comply with all of those comments. We feel that this plan provides a variety of landscaping and will enhance the site when the building's constructed.
Mr. Chair, when the meeting began and Mr. Steib was reading the list of exhibits, one of the exhibits was a July 8th, 2020. Shade Tree report. We have not seen that report. It sounds like it was issued earlier today. Would someone be kind enough to share with us the contents so that we can hopefully respond on the record this evening?
Well, that would be me, Pam. I have to, excuse me, Lorelei, do you have a copy of that report?
No, I don't. Let me look and see if I can download it.
What, McKinley, do you have it?
No, you know what? Excuse me. We did not have a chance to put it online because we received it at the 12th hour today. The comments that were made were with reference to the calipers of the trees. Hold on. Let me go on to...
Pam, I have the email you sent earlier today. Those two comments, are those the ones?
Yes, they put it in a little bit of a more formal report, but basically those are the comments. I'm going to look to see if I can find that. I apologize on my email.
I'll list them right now because I have it in front of me. The first one has to do with the American hollies that are proposed. The committee would like to see those at 7 to 8 feet in height.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I think it was the caliper. I believe she made an error.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Let me just find that. If we can move on for just one moment, I will try to locate that email right now.
Sure, no problem. We just would like to address it on. We'd like
absolutely. I apologize.
No, thank you very much.
Pam, so, can you provide it to the members of the planning board as well?
Yes, I will make sure that everyone receives a copy of that. It just came so very late.
Sure. And an important part of the site design, Ms. Totten, is stormwater management. And I know that during the meeting with the professionals, you had an opportunity to go over their comments. I'm going to ask are you comfortable, having read Mr. Shafai's comments, that you can and will address the open technical recommendations that appear in his report?
Yes, Mr. Pape, I have reviewed his comments. We've provided a stormwater management plan which meets not only Millstone Township's requirements, but also the NJDEP's requirements for stormwater management. And most of Mr. Shafai's comments had to do with details to be provided in the O&M manual, which is required to be filed and followed by the owner. And we will kind of comply with all of those comments.
Thank you. I have one last direct question before I ask you to help me go through the outside agencies. My last direct question is, there's a request made by the professional staff for the applicant to make improvements to the intersection of Novad Court and Pine Drive. If you could, in a simple way, describe what the improvements are that the applicant has agreed to install.
Yes, I can, Mr. Pape. Referring to Exhibit A12, you will notice in the lower right-hand corner, the property line has a bigger radius than the green line does, where the green extends beyond the property line. The property line is the double dashed line. That goes up to the edge of pavement that's currently there now, and it's a pretty sharp curve. So in discussions with Mr. Shafai and Ms. Mertz, we met with them. It was agreed that we would have that corner improved so that it parallels or is to the existing right-of-way and flatten that curve a little bit. Additionally, to install curb from that point to the driveway on Novad Court, the proposed entrance.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the board, my last dialogue with Laura Lightotten is just to ask that she assist me as I go through the status of the outside agency approvals. Laura, I'll speak to each one, and if I get it correct, you can please so advise the board. We made application to the Monmouth County Planning Board. We are not on a county road, and we received a letter of exemption from them saying no further requirements. And that's our current status, Lorelei?
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Okay. And the Monmouth County Board of Health, we had the soils tested on site. We asked Mr. Christopher Liberto from the Health Department to join us. He came and he witnessed the soil testing, and on August 30th of 2019, issued a letter confirming the soil logs are suitable for the installation of the subsurface sewage disposal system. That's correct?
Yes, it is.
Shade Tree Commission, we now have a review letter from them. Our application went to them. Environmental Commission, earlier this year, we appeared before the Environmental Commission. They had a number of comments that were memorialized in their letter of February 25th. All of those were addressed by your firm. And on June 17th, they issued a letter indicating that they were satisfied with the submission. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, it is.
DEP, Crest Engineering, worked with the applicant and secured a wetlands letter of interpretation for the site. That letter dated August 15th, 2016, remained in full force and effect. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that is the status of applications that have been approved. The Freehold Soil Conservation District is a pending application, not yet approved. Again, an accurate statement?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And we acknowledge that there will be a responsibility upon prior to construction of posting bonds, inspection fees, and securing a tree clearing permit. Mr. Chair, members of the board, that's my direct examination of Ms. Lorelei Totten. She's available to the board, the board's professionals at this time, if you wish to examine her further.
Well, the only question, Mr. Pate, that I had, which is really towards the beginning of the testimony, is I wanted to better understand the light variance or waiver.
Sure.
And where it is having a potential or no impact versus the homes that are closest to the property.
So I'm going to ask to go first, but to be brief, and then to invite either Mr. Shafai or Ms. Totten to speak further. With the parking lot in front of the building, between the building and Pine Drive, the central portion of that parking lot, the light is brighter than it is around the perimeter. And as a result of that, the average illumination is greater than 0.5 for the whole site. But it's 1.0, which is not a very bright lighting. That's an opinion. I'll take that back. It's 1.0, where 0.5 is the standard. And if, Lorelei, if you could further clarify it, and Mr. Shafai, if you have any comments on it, I'd appreciate those too.
So with regard to where the lights are, as Mr. Pape pointed out, they are in the parking lot, aimed downward towards the parking lot, and that's where it's the brightest. If you were to do the average on the whole site, because a lot of the site's not developed, it would be lower because the average is only taken within the disturbed area. The single family home, the closest one, is to the north of the site, it's at least 150, almost 150 feet away, because that's the distance from the building to the northern property line. And then I believe the first house is almost that distance again, away from the common property line. The parts of the site where the parking lot actually fronts on the road across the street in both cases are commercial developments. Does that answer the question?
Sorry. Finish, please.
No, I'm saying, does that answer the question? My apologies.
On Novad Court, though, we have a developmental home.
Yeah. The building separates the parking lot from that home.
All right. And what I do have a question. We have another home, which is the Dykert property, which is in between. Are you saying to me that this is the Dykert property? Or
I'm without the Dykert property in between.
Can I need help? Can we go back to A4? It's the aerial. That might help explain it.
Where's Matt?
Mr. Shafai?
He's muted.
Well, he better unmute. Matt? All right, you need to take a...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I need to hear you. We're talking about the properties that are on Novad Court. And what I wanted to know was this site, where is it in relationship to the Dykert property? That's my first question.
There is a good 300 feet plus area that is wetlands and 150 feet buffer on both sides. So it's well away from this property.
From the Dykert property?
Yes, and our single family residential house next to the group home building.
Okay, next to the group home. And yes. what about the other Shuli?
Shuli is right way away. Shuli is near Route 195, nowhere near this.
Okay. All right, that's all I wanted to check.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, any further questions?
I have a quick question, Ken. I may have missed it. Did you go over my comments, number 4, E through K, L? Did you respond to those things? I know you said you'll comply with stormwater management, but I didn't hear anything about my comment 4, E through L.
4E was where you pointed out that we had a mistake on the plan and showed the dead end over Novad Court, and that will be corrected.
So you're going to correct the circulation plan showing the trucks could make it through there?
We will. We'll remove.
And you have no problem with the condition of the approval that there will be no outdoor display on this property?
I wanted to say it first. The applicant agrees there'll be no outdoor display on this property as a condition of approval.
And then, you will look into the side triangle easement at the intersection. I think Lorelei Fesci will take care of that.
That's G, and the answer is yes, that side triangle easement will be created.
And the comments actually talks about the easements over the drainage easement, conservation easements, monuments. Y'all, no problems with those?
But no, H is that we agree to be responsible for the drainage maintenance and to create the drainage easement. I, we agree that the conservation easement with the monuments shall be installed. J, we agree the conservation easement shall exclude the existing drainage easement. And K, the applicant, the area of the basement will be presented when Steve Radosti is up. So reserving K. And then
I believe L, you took care of that with Environmental Commission, I believe.
Yes, Mr. Shafai, we did, and that was memorialized in their second report.
Very good. Thank you very much.
All right, don't go back to sleep.
No, I put my tie on and a shirt, and I couldn't get on the Zoom. I don't know what happened. Weird.
Mr. Chair, I have a quick question, too.
Of course.
The corner between Pine and Novat, it's kind of hard to tell, but is there any stop signs at that intersection?
Yeah.
On Novat.
There is? Okay. Just want to make sure. And that's going to become more of a T than a curve, is my understanding?
It already is a T. It will remain as a T.
Wow. The curve will get larger. It's tight curve now to make the turn. If you were going to turn to the right coming out of Novad Court, it's a tight curve. It's going to be flatter, so it'll be easier to make that turn.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Pape, I don't see that there's any other board members asking any other questions for this witness. If you want to proceed to your next witness, please.
I will. Yes, thank you.
Can we confirm that there is no public that has entered the meeting that might want to ask a question?
There are two public members, Mr. and Mrs. Van Erm.
Well, I was going to open it up to the public at the end of the applicant's testimony, Mr. Stibe, unless you suggest we proceed otherwise.
That's fine. If you want to have all the witnesses first and then the question and answer, the question and comment, that's fine.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, particularly in the event that one of the additional or second witnesses perhaps might answer a question or concern that the public might have.
That's fine.
Okay. Thank you. The second and final professional witness to be presented to the board on behalf of this application is Stephen Radosti, the architect responsible for the design of the building. If we could have Mr. Radosti sworn, and then Mr. Chair, if you wish to hear his credentials, we'll place them on the record.
Mr. Radosti, would you raise your right hand and sworn, please? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Your name and address?
Sure. Stephen Radosti, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, and then Radosti, R-A-D-O-S-T-I. The address is 379 Princeton Heights Town Road, Cranberry, New Jersey, 08512.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Radosti has presented applications to this planning board and zoning board. Do you accept his credentials or wish to hear them tonight?
No, the credentials are fine, but just one point of procedure, Mr. Pape, I see that the members of the public are looking to chat and ask us if they can be heard later, and I just want to let them know absolutely when this witness is concluded, we will open it up to the public, so please be patient. Thank you.
And Mr. Radosti, you are testifying that you're a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey.
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Radosti, please be certain.
Stop yelling.
Mr. Radosti, please be certain to share with me what exhibit is before the board as a
Yes, I'd like to start with exhibit A6, 2 of 2.
And I've asked that Mr. Radosti include in his presentation a description of the architectural features on the building, his familiarity with the ordinance, and the features that are designed to be compliant with the ordinance, and then to a brief description of the interior of the building, and at the conclusion, we'll discuss the basement design. Mr. Radosti, if you could, in a narrative fashion, be certain to tell me what exhibit is up, take us through those proofs.
Yes, I guess currently we have an exhibit A6, 2 of 2, which shows the south elevation of the building, as well as the east elevation and the first floor plan. So my clients approached me and they wanted me to construct a new building for them, for their corporate offices as well as their showroom. They wanted the building to be attractive, and from doing many other projects in Millstone, I realized how important it was to comply with the architectural design standards of the township. Just recently completed down the street, we've finished Central Jersey Storage, which is, I believe, just two lots away, or two or three lots away from the project. And also just recently completed was the Colonial RV project on Route 33. So we're definitely familiar with the ordinance, the design standards of the town. The proposed building is a two-story building, 8,206 square feet on the first floor and 7,791 square feet on the second floor. There would be a showroom, retail showroom on the first floor for the client.
Okay.
Showroom on the first floor. And on the second floor, there would be office space for the clients. The main entrance to the upstairs would be through the lobby, which is on the southeast corner of the building, which has an elevator and stairs. It goes upstairs, it goes up to the second floor, and there's also a second staircase on the western side of the building. The showroom would be accessed from the south elevation, and the building, we designed the building so that there would be a cultured stone water table at the base, providing a water table look to the building. Above that, it would be a colored concrete from a tilt-up concrete construction. We'd have a series of openings, storefront, which would have a metal roof canopy over each of those entrances to draw attention to it. And above that would be large glass windows, aluminum metal frame that would be for the offices above. To make the building interesting, we have a stepping pattern on the floor plan, as well as on the elevations, where we have the front elevation undulates in and out, as well as the parapet of the building, which tops out at 30 feet, undulates several feet at a time from approximately 26 feet up to 30 feet, so that the building has appears to have some vertical elements that's broken up by horizontals of the base course, as well as horizontals of the roof canopies. And then we have a lot of vertical lines to give some visual interest to it. There would also be some internally illuminated signage along the south elevation above each of those potential tenant spaces. We also have the same materials and the same look of the building, not just on the south elevation, but also on the other three elevations. We have other large glass areas, the same colored concrete. We have a decorative cornice at the top of the parapet, which also changes height to give visual interest and breaks in the elevation. And this travels all the way around all four sides of the building. We purposely made the corner, the southeast corner, stand out, because this would be most visible from the street and from the corner. And this is where we have two stories of glass that draws attention to the entrance that goes up into the office space above.
Could you describe materials and colors that you've implemented?
Yes, I could. If would you mind bringing up exhibit A13, the color rendering? Okay, so materials and colors. So the base course of the building is a faux stone, cultured stone material. And these are all, basically we used a palette of all earth tones. So these are ranging anywhere between grays and tans. And we used a ledge stone style horizontal banding cultured stone for the base course. Above that, we have a painted colored concrete above. The windows themselves would be made out of a 2-inch aluminum frame, black anodized storefronts. Thank you. This would have a low E finish on it. And then above the front entranceways, we'd have a standing seam metal canopy in a matte black or a very dark brown color. So we draw attention to those front entrances as well as for protection from the weather. And then the decorative cornice above, which would be a stepping cornice applied to the face of the parapet, that would be a darker gray color. And that would also be a colored concrete or other similar material.
Thank you. Perhaps if you could take us inside the building just a little bit to give us a sense of the dimensions and if the building were to be converted from showroom on the first floor to general retail, what the anticipated number of storefronts could be.
Yes, so we designed the first floor so it could either be one large showroom or possibly up to four different tenants. And each of these tenants would have their own glass storefront, which with their own covered entranceway. And actually, if I could go to, if you don't mind, if I could go to exhibit A13, one of two. So we have here a color rendering of the building from the southeast corner. So each of these entranceways are punctuated by these metal roofs, and there's a large area of glass to show off the tenant spaces. And there could be doorways or fixed glass if it's less than the four tenants. So four tenants, a total of 8,206 square feet at the first floor. And the four tenant spaces can vary anywhere between, taking one space would be like 1,726 square feet to the largest space on the eastern side, which is a little larger at 2,058 square feet. They could take one space, two spaces, three spaces, or all four spaces like the showroom would.
And then, are we ready to go to the basement, or are there some facts that you need to present before we do that?
I think the only thing that we didn't discuss would be the monument sign itself. Which,
let's do that, please.
That would be exhibit A6, one of two.
And if I may, this is a sign that your clients asked you as the architect to design for them.
Yes, that's correct. So I'm sorry, Ken.
No, and you were charged with making this an architecturally interesting sign and compatible with the building that you've designed.
Yes, that's correct. We wanted to use the same materials, the same colors, the same finishes, and have the scale work with the building. The proposed sign is 8 feet in width by 8 feet in height for a total of 64 square feet per face. It's a two-sided sign. In the center of the sign is a an internally illuminated portion, which is 4 feet by 5'4". And there would be a base course with a cultured stone and a stone water table below that to mimic the building. There would also be vertical portions on the left and the right of the internally illuminated sign, which would have colored concrete to match the building. We would have address numerals on the vertical portion of approximately 12 inches in height. And then the top portion would have a, almost like a parapet, it would have a decorative cornice that steps like the cornice on the building with a colored cap. And that would all match the same materials and colors of the building.
Thank you. I think we can go to the basement.
Real quick, I'm sorry, this is McKinley Mertz. Before we go, can I ask a quick question about the sign?
Yes.
Please.
I'm sorry if I missed this, but is this monument sign, I know you said the wall signs are internally illuminated. Is the monument sign also?
Yes, it is. The central portion of the sign, 4 foot by 5'4", portion of the sign is internally illuminated. Yes.
So in that image, the area that says sign.
Exactly.
Okay. Would you mind if I ask one more question about the wall signs before we went to the basement?
Oh yeah, sure.
So I know right now you're planning for a single tenant for the whole building. And on your elevations, you show individual signs as if there were multiple tenants. I did just want to point out that the ordinance only does permit one wall sign for a single tenant. Since you're on the corner, you could have two, but until they lease out, if they choose to divide up the space, there would only be permitted one wall sign. So I'm assuming that would be centrally located on some level or?
Yes, I guess I guess they would choose the location of it depending on what we do with the layout, the interior layout of the store. So it would probably be located, above the main entrance mm-hmm. of the space, which at this point in time I'm not sure which one it is, but it may very well be the center one.
Sure. And since you are a corner, you are allowed to have a second sign on the secondary wall facing the other street. But I just wanted to make sure that you weren't asking for a variance for all of these additional signs.
No request for a variance. Thank you for assisting us in making that point.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all on the signage. We can go into the basement.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I think basement. So our clients have asked that they be permitted to have a basement. The basement would be for two purposes. It would be for the storage of their materials, but primarily for the storage of their records. They have copious records after being in business for so many years, and they have a serious shortage of storage space for it. It would not be rental space. It would not have any other purpose. There may be a mechanical system that's in the basement, but it would not be used for any other purpose. And with that introduction, if you could describe it, Mr. Radosti, describe the way it was originally designed with the two tower staircases internal and then the additional elements that would be added in response to the fire official's request.
Yes, of course. So the basement would encompass the area under the first floor, pretty much the same as the footprint of the first floor. And the original design was to have the two staircases internal to the building, one that goes off of the office lobby and up into the second floor, and then the one on the west side of the building to go all the way from the second floor down into the basement and out to the exterior, so that the clients could go from the second floor down to the basement, and people in the basement could go directly up a flight of stairs and out to the exterior, in case of fire. We plan on modifying that after receiving some comments from the fire official and looking at some recent code changes to the International Building Code, is that in addition to those two staircases, we also we'll be adding two more exterior staircases on the north side of the building. These would be exterior staircases So at the bottom of the stair, there would be a door directly to the basement for both of those. And the reason for those doors would be for fire department access in case of an emergency. So this way there would be actually four means of egress from the basement.
And that design, those additional doorways would be consistent with the request made by the fire officials and consistent with the updated construction codes.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I have, Mr. Chair, I have nothing further of Mr. Radosti, and that is your applicant's direct presentation to the board. Mr. Radosti is now available to you, and Ms. Totten remains available to you.
Okay. Any questions from any of our board members or professionals of the architect? Not seeing any.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, I do just have one other quick question for the architect. You mentioned there's the parapet. Are you putting the mechanical equipment on the roof behind the parapet?
Yes, that was the intention, to have it behind one of the larger parapets so that it's screened from view.
Okay, so that's what my point was going to be. It won't be able to be seen from the parking lot or the street or anything.
That is correct.
Okay. Sorry, I was just checking to make sure I didn't have any last comments. The upper floor office space, should the current single applicant choose to divide up the building, is that space designed in a way to be used as multiple office spaces in the future, or is it always intended to be just one?
I think currently it will be designed to accommodate the exact interior requirements of the corporate offices of Seasonal World. If there were to be further tenants in that space, it would require a reworking of the interior floor plan.
Okay, that's helpful. Are there any sustainability measures that have been included into the building design?
There are. So even though we're not going to be going for LEED certification, we will be designing it in accordance with a lot of ideas of LEED, such as some local materials, such as concrete. You know, locally sourced materials such as concrete would be used. We would have low E thermally broken aluminum glass door fronts. We would have highly efficient concrete sandwich panels for the exterior walls. These are 10-inch thick concrete walls that sandwich insulation between it. They're actually much more efficient than some other types because they're not broken by a stud. So there's no thermal break, basically. And then we'd also have efficient, energy efficient HVAC units. And we'd be using LED lighting in the building, as well as probably some other things.
All right, that's great. No, I appreciate that. I know it's very, very financially difficult to have a LEED certified building, but we do like to encourage people to use the LEED standards anyway. So I appreciate that incorporation.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. That's it, Mr. Chairman, for the architect on my side.
Okay, thanks. Anything, Matt?
I have a quick question on the basement. Are the stairs going to the back, inside or outside the building?
The stairs that we're going to be adding in the back are to the exterior of the building. And then the two that we have on the sides are on the interior of the building.
But there's only like 10, 15 feet between the building and the septic field. How are you going to have stairs back there?
There's myself and the site engineer were looking at how to do it, and they were designing a retaining wall with stairs that go down on the exterior that have a landing below, and there's a door below. If we put it on the interior of the building, the problem is it would cut into the retail space, which would hinder the access at the rear of the building. And then we would also then have a two-story shaft going down into the basement. So it also makes it harder to construct, being a tilt-up concrete building. We wanted an open slab area without, you know, so many openings in the floor. So I guess there were a few reasons why we looked at doing it that way.
But if you put it on the outside, does that mean the septic field has to move?
I think that would be a question for the site engineer on that.
Lorelei, do you want to chime in on that one?
Yes. So when we did the final design on the septic system, we actually made it a little bit longer and a bit narrower. So it is 25 feet off the face of the building. And the steps will fit in the sidewalk area that's shown. Right now there's a sidewalk with a 3 or 4 foot area of stone that's shown between the sidewalk and the building. So, and the sidewalk's 6 feet wide. So we will be able to fit everything comfortably without changing the limits of clearing and without increasing the impervious cover. We looked at all of this prior to this meeting, and it all does fit well without being too close to the septic. The steps can be within 25 feet of the septic, so it does work.
But the plans that I have measures 15 feet from building to septic.
Yes, what we did was we held the far edge of the septic. We made the septic a little bit narrower and a little bit longer.
So I don't have the latest plan then?
Well, the septic that's shown on there is not the latest, that's correct. We just recently submitted the design to the Millstone Township Building Department a couple weeks ago.
Very good, thank you.
You're welcome.
Unless there's anything else from the board professionals or from the members of the board, I have three things I want to do. First, I want to ask the applicant if there's going to be any traffic testimony. Second, I want to ask McKinley and Matt if there's anything open from the report. But third, and most important, I'd like to open it up to the public because one of the members of the public has been chatting continuously. And one of the issues that was raised is that she's concerned that she will not be heard. So I would like to take that as an emergency item and jump right to opening this up to the public, unless anyone has any objections to that. And of course, with doing that, the applicant and the applicant's professionals should remain available, please.
Yeah.
Okay, so at this moment, I'd like to open this up to the public and I believe that a member of the public that would like to approach us is Rhonda Van Erem, and I apologize if I have not pronounced that correctly. Rhonda, are you available? I take it that she is not available.
Well, she's muted. She said trying to talk.
Excuse me?
Can we unmute her? She said she's trying to talk.
She doesn't have any audio connected.
So, right, she's typing that she's talking and is available. But so Mike, I have a procedural question. We have a member.
We have a microphone. She needs to call in. If her computer does not have a microphone,
okay,
phone.
Yes, I'm going to propose a middle ground. What if we just read her comments from her several chats, and that is the best we will do in our new world order? Would that be satisfactory, Mike?
I think we ought to ask her first if she has access to a phone that she can call in on the phone line. And if not, then we'll take the second best solution.
She's typing, "You have not muted me. I did call in on a phone." And then she says, "That is fine. I am on the phone. I am not on a computer." So the phone clearly isn't working.
Can you hear me? This is Robert Van Allen.
Yes, we can.
Okay. You know, we're concerned about the septic system. Right now, the one directly across the street, the Wawa.
Robert, can I interrupt you first? Because I suspect that there will be questions, and also you want to have some comments. So sure. If you're going to have some comments, I need to swear you in.
Absolutely.
So you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
And just state your name and address once again.
My name is Robert Van Arum, and I live at 22 Pine Drive in Millstone Township, New Jersey.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
You know, a couple of things. Right now, the septic system directly across the street at the Wawa is failing again. This is countless times that it's failed, and they're digging it up. Is this septic going to work, or are we going to have a problem again?
This is Kenneth Pape speaking. This septic system is being designed by our engineers and is being submitted to the Monmouth County Health Department for approval. We're fully aware of the demands that will be placed on the system from a 16,000 square foot building of this design. I think it's a very safe statement to say that the demand that the public puts on Wawa is extraordinary. This building is not going to have that type of a demand. But the most important statement I can make to the public and to you is that it is subject to the Monmouth County Health Department's approval of design and installation, and we will comply.
Thank you.
And Robert, this is Mitch Newman, the Planning Board Chairman. I'm going to rely on you to read or review the comments from Rhonda. Is that acceptable?
Yes, I could do that.
Okay, thank you. So then we'll let you continue, please.
Okay. Why are we deviating from the setbacks required in the ordinances? Why do we want to have that?
We're not. The relief that we're requesting is very limited, and there's the front, side, rear setbacks. There's no relief requested of this applicant.
Mr. Pape, if it's okay, Mr. Chairman, if I step in really quick, I believe, and Mr. Van Arum, correct me if I'm wrong, this is McKinley Mertz, I'm the planner for the board, I represent the township here. The applicant does need a variance for a setback from any building and the rural preservation zone that's located on the other side of this property. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, the letter I got in the mail says the minimum lot depth of 304.5, where 500 is required, the minimum setback from residential rural preservation zone of 145 feet on the north and 183.5 on the west, where 300 is required.
Right. Okay. Yes, that is what I was talking about. So there is a requirement in the township ordinance that any building that's up against the rural preservation zone, which is what we're talking about, has to be set back 300 feet. And the applicant is set back 145 feet. I believe part of that is due to the size of the lot, but you actually, that's actually a comment that I had hoped to bring up as well. Ms. Totten is also a planner, and I had hoped that she could speak to the variances from the planning perspective, because it's a good point that you're bringing up.
Lorelei, I know that you have reviewed those points from a planning perspective. Are you prepared to address the question raised by Mr. Van Arum and by Ms. Mertz?
Yes, I am. So with regard to the larger of the two, the 300 foot buffer, the property is only 370 feet wide.
But you're cutting out, Lorelei, sorry.
Sorry, almost 400 feet in one direction and 375 in the other direction. So having to comply with a 300-foot setback to the north and to the west would basically be a hardship, because this property then would be undevelopable. So it's a C1, which is a hardship variance. In mitigation for that, There is a buffer, a wetlands buffer, and there's no development close to the edges of the property. If first we take to the west, there's a detention basin proposed, and then the parking lot. So the building is as far away from that particular line as possible. With regard to the north property line, again, the building is about 146 feet away, and there is, as with the other, there is a wetlands area and that's going to be put into a conservation easement so that the woods that are there cannot be touched along that perimeter and as well as along the western perimeter. And it's going to remain in its natural state. So with regard to that, it's going to protect the properties on both sides. There is no home very close on the side to the west, and there is one on the side to the north, but that one is quite a distance away. It's probably 300 feet from the building or more. So we feel that the board could grant this variance, which is a hardship and can't be modified because of this mitigation without harm and to the public good and welfare or to the zone and zone plan. With regard to the other buffer requirement, it says that the building must be 150 feet away, and it is on the west side. It's more than 150 feet away. On the north side, it is 4 feet approximately short of that distance. And again, it has to do with the lot width, which is not under the property owner's control. So it is a hardship variance, waiver variance. And it can be granted because it's de minimis. And again, there's going to be a conservation easement along this line that will keep those existing trees in place and buffer the residences that are to the north of the property. And again, these residences are at least 150 feet beyond the property line. So we feel again that the board can grant this variance without harm to the public good and welfare or the zone and zone plan. Both these variances are very specific to this particular piece of property.
Okay, we're back to a point of procedure. So,
one more quick question on the variances. I see on the letter you sent me, it says, you know, you're looking for a variance on that foot candle for the lighting. Why would we want to grant the variance for that?
Sure. We spoke to that earlier, but I'll ask, this is Ken Pape again. We spoke to that earlier, but I'll ask that Lorelei go through that. That is the central portion of the parking lot only, where we are asking to have what we believe to be the amount of light to create a safe parking field. The relief is not requested around the perimeter of the site, but only in the central portion of the parking lot for safety purposes. Lorelei, if you wish to add to that.
Yes, as a practical matter, it would be difficult to lower the average much more and have the right amount of light at the edges of the parking spaces. And as I noted previously, when you get to the property line, the light level is very, very low.
Again, the ordinance were put in place for a reason. See why we should not stick to the ordinances.
Mike, I have a point of procedure. So Robert, please bear with me as I cut into your time. Mike, we're getting chats from Rhonda, who I believe is Robert's wife, and she is saying, "My husband cannot see my questions. Please have them read into the record."
Into the record.
Excuse me?
Read them into the record.
Okay, so I will, Robert, if you are done, I will take over and read your wife's comments into the record. Unless you have more, then I'll quiet down.
No, I'm fine. I can read her notes.
Oh, then I would.
We're not in the same place tonight.
Okay, I would greatly appreciate it if you read her comments into the record. but if you prefer I do, I will do it. Please let me know.
I'll read them. Okay. Has there been an engineering study performed at the intersection of Novid and Pine Drive, not Pine Street, because rounding it may create more of a dangerous intersection than already exists? Is there a reason why we would deviate from the setbacks required for this property? How is that benefiting the neighboring properties? The foot candle of the lighting should not exceed that is already approved for the lot. There are residential properties surrounding this proposed structure. What is the sewage disposal system that is being proposed? The septic is failing at Wawa, and there are a lot of issues with McDonald's and Burger King already, and we are adding a 30 apartment complex in the vicinity as well. We have septic, not sewer. What about the area that is retention basin? Is there a fountain that will be installed so the water is not standing water? Once again, are we now proposing that use will deviate from the allowed use that we currently have for this zone that is bordering a residential neighborhood? Tree clearing has been discussed. Is it limited to the area of the building and the drainage, or will there be clearing the entire lot? Where is a sign located that is illuminated? Does this meet the zoning standards? I am confident that, so I want to make sure these questions are on the record. So the septic system is not adequate size for, I would ask that someone clearly review the septic plan. And then she just says that she's having trouble calling in.
Okay, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it, Robert. So Ken and Lorelei, I know you heard those questions. Some of them are items we've discussed already, but would you please attempt to address anything that is open that you haven't already discussed?
Sure. So the signs design compliant with the ordinance and the signs location, I think, are part of the record. The lighting discussion is part of the record. The septic system discussion is part of the record. I think we could do a little bit more on the intersection. There was a traffic study prepared by McDonough and Ray, and I can speak. We did not ask Representative McDonough and Ray to participate, Mr. Chairman. There were no traffic issues raised in your board's professional staff, and it's for that reason that we did not bring the traffic engineer. The design of the facility was by Lorelei, and she was able to testify to that point. But there was a study that was performed by McDonough and Ray. The traffic report is part of the record. And the improvements to the intersection were not the voluntary improvements of your applicant. They are the improvements that your engineer identified as improvements that would make the intersection better, and we said yes. So that's the response on that one. My memory, there was one at the very end that Mr. Van Everm raised that I don't think that we already addressed it. Mr. Everm, if you could tell me the last two comments of your wife, please.
One was about a basin fountain, Ken?
Aerator.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Dodden, what measures have been incorporated into the detention basin to make certain that we don't have stagnant water conditions?
This is a dry basin, not a wet basin. So a fountain is only appropriate if you have a pond to keep it aerated. There is an outlet structure that's sized appropriately to dewater the basin. It's designed to dewater in the time required by the best management practices that are in place right now. And it is designed in accordance with all the standard engineering requirements at this point.
Okay, so
we have, yes, I'm sorry.
That's right. So, Ken, thank you for Lorelei for answering the question that there's not going to be standing water, so we don't need a fountain. The next part that I recall was a question about proposing a use that will deviate from the allowed uses. So could you comment on the zoning and the uses?
Sure. We are located in the highway commercial zone district of the township. We're before the planning board because the proposed uses are permitted uses, and we'll place on the record and stipulate that the uses of this building will be only those that are permitted by the township in the zone. Any other uses would require another trip to the other board, to the zoning board, and we're stipulating that this will be a compliant building.
Okay, compliant with the existing use for the site.
Correct.
Existing zoning for the site, I apologize.
Yes, the existing zoning for the site. Okay. No variance, no use variance is requested.
Okay, and there was another question, and Robert, I'm sorry if I'm stealing your thunder, but the other question was tree clearing is, they don't see the site plan, obviously, being on the phone. So something that's obvious to those of us that are seeing the plan is not obvious to folks on the phone. And the question is there tree clearing of the entire site or just a portion of the site?
Yeah, I'll go first, but then I'm going to ask Lorelei to speak to it. There are environmentally constrained properties. There's some wetlands on the properties, and those areas and the buffers associated will not be touched. The only portion of the site that will be disturbed is identified on the plans as the limits of disturbance. Lorelei, if you could, with a little bit more clarity, just kind of take the Mr. Evram and the board around the limit of disturbance.
Yes. So practically speaking, along the northern property line, which is the line parallel to Pine, there's about 150-foot strip there. I'm sorry, it's not 150. It's about 100 feet wide that will be in a conservation easement plus or minus, and the limit of clearing combined, because we did not clear up to the proposed conservation easement in all areas. And along the western property line, the closest point of clearing will be the western corner of the detention basin, which is about 50 feet off the property line, but there's a significantly larger area that's not going to be cleared as you get to the intersection of the westerly and the northerly property line.
Lorelei, I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to just recast the question into what I think might be a simpler way to ask it if I were in the position of the neighbors. If the site is 3.59 acres in size, what percentage of that site is going to be cleared or left uncleared?
I think at least between 25% and 30% of the site will not be cleared, and it might be more than that. I think it's 4 acres. It might be closer to over a third, because I think the disturbed area is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5 acres, 2.3 acres, if memory serves me correctly.
And
it's a significant portion.
Could you say it again, please? Because I think I misheard you.
Okay. I believe it's more than 30% of the lot is not going to be cleared. So about two-thirds will be cleared. About 2.5 plus or minus acres, I think it will be cleared, and the remainder of the almost 4 acres, like 1 to 1.5 acres, will remain uncleared.
And that uncleared portion is primarily along the northern boundary and the western boundary. Is that fair?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for clearing that up. And then lastly, you mentioned, or Ken mentioned, an easement, and I believe that the neighbors are questioning what does that easement mean and what does it really protect?
Do you want me to answer that, Mr. Pape?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so there's an existing easement of a drainage pipe that comes from McDonald's. It runs along the northern property line. The pipe comes from under the road and outlets, and there is an easement around that pipe and a little bit of the the ditch that goes along that property line. That is the easement that Mr. Shafai does not want to be in the conservation easement so it can be maintained properly. The other type of easement that's proposed is called a conservation easement, and it is intended to enclose the wetlands and the wetlands buffers that are located on site. And that easement, the words in that easement state that you cannot alter the ground or the vegetation except to remove, I'm being very general here, except to remove dead and diseased plants and trees.
And if I could add just a couple of the legal elements of that conservation easement, it runs to the benefit of the township. The township has enforceability. The township also imposes a requirement that makes the limits of the conservation easement abundantly clear by requiring large out-of-the-ground monuments at all turning points. In this instance, Mr. Shafai has recommended a series of six monuments coming out of the ground to show the limits of the easement.
Okay. That, Robert, is there anything further? Any other questions or comments?
No, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for allowing us the courtesy and the latitude to proceed in this fashion in this unique scenario. So the next thing I wanted to do was turn it over to our consultants to see if Matt or McKinley had anything from their reports that we needed to address or the applicant needed to address.
Matt, you want to go first?
Sure. They've addressed all my comments. Pretty much everything. So I really have no objections to anything right now. So I'm good with everything.
Okay.
I just had one follow-up. Just to get it on the record, Lorelei, you spoke to the variances that the neighbor had a concern with. Could you just generally give the planning testimony for the rest of them?
Yes, with regard to the lot depth, it is an existing condition and it cannot be changed. So it's a hardship. And the goals for the, one of the goals that is promoted by actually all of these variances or granting these variances is the goal of adequate light, air, and space. The lot is not overdeveloped, even though a couple of the buffers have variances request and that the lot is not as wide as it's supposed to be. And that is demonstrated because the floor area ratio is well within the acceptable limits, as well as the impervious cover of the site. So I believe that the lot depth can also be granted as an existing condition without harming the public good and welfare. And I just want to see what the other one is.
The parking, we no longer need the variance for parking if we add in the 14 stalls that are banked.
Okay, so then, and the waiver we discussed, I believe that, does that cover all of the variances? Ms. Mertz?
Yeah, I believe that was, I for some reason I thought there was more, but it was just that last one. So thank you. I just wanted to make sure we got that one on the record. And real finally, Rhonda had one last question. Can you confirm that none of the wetlands are being disturbed?
The wetlands are not being disturbed. There is a request submitted to DEP for a disturbance of a portion of the buffer for the outfall of the stormwater management basin, and that is required because we need a stable outfall for it, and it's not going into the wetlands, just a little bit into the buffer, which is a general permit and is routinely granted for this type of use.
If I may, so there's a general permit request for the right to access the buffer, correct?
Correct.
There's not a general permit request for the right to enter the true delineated wetlands.
Correct again.
Okay, thank you.
And Ken, just for the record, that permit is under the jurisdiction of the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. That's not granted, denied, or evaluated by Millstone. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's accurate.
Okay.
And it is a continuing responsibility of the applicant.
Okay. And one last thing for the record, so to speak, Rhonda is typing that she does not agree with the variance or the wetlands disturbance or the lighting or the setbacks. And I think that's been enunciated, but I just wanted to confirm this agreement for the record. McKinley, was there anything else on your report?
That's all, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. And lastly, I want to open it back up to the board. We've spent a lot of time with the consultants and see if any of our members of the board had any questions for anybody.
I have a question. If the building size was smaller, scaled down, would there be a need for as many variances that have been requested?
I'll go first. The buffer would not change. The buffer is a function of the depth of the existing depth of the lot. The existing lot size variance would not change. There is no variance requested for the parking. I think the only I would say that the building's size is not what's generating any of the variance relief. It's the trapezoidal size of the property and the close proximity to the adjacent wetlands, and that would be present no matter what building was designed.
Well, let me recast the question. Is there a way to change the relief with respect to the lighting?
Laurel, I leave it to you. I know that our concern was not to create any intense lighting, but to make certain that the central portions of the parking lot had adequate lighting. I have a suggestion, Mr. Chair. With LED lighting, the light fixtures the actual lights can be changed and can be dimmed. We could stipulate that the parking lot would have dimmable LED lights, and that if there is an issue of brightness that is creating an unsafe condition, we could at a later date dim those lights. But our goal was strictly safety, not to be creating any hot illuminated areas.
Well, I appreciate that. And that would be something for Matt's department to follow up with. Maybe another way to skin the cat, so to speak, is what are the hours that the lights will be on?
Surely. Our clients anticipate that the office building will be used as a general office for their purposes. Typical office hours for people like the Chavones is to be in the office between 7 and 8 in the morning and to be out between 5 and 6. That doesn't mean that there isn't someone who's there later. And the showroom would be similar hours. So it's I think that if we were to put a stipulation that the lights were to be either turned off or turned down within 30 minutes of the closure of the showroom, and that the showroom would be closed no later than 8 p.m., that we would be able to make representations that our client could live with.
Okay, I must say that I find that to be persuasive, that the lights have a sunset clause, so that when folks are in their moments of relaxation or preparing for bedtime, we'll know that those lights are off, and we won't have to worry about this. So that would be helpful for me. Okay. Anything else, Nancy, or from anyone else on the board?
No.
Okay. Mike, anything else? I'm sorry, Mike. Ken, anything else from the applicant?
No, that's the applicant's direct presentation. I think under the totality of tonight's circumstances, the typical final arguments of the attorney are not really necessary. I think that your deliberations and going to a vote would be the applicant's request.
Okay. Mike, anything else we need to consider before we move ahead with the deliberation and a motion?
Yeah, turning off the lights at 8 o'clock, where you have the possibility of having retail stores here in the future, might be a little bit early.
Yeah.
I would have thought 10 o'clock.
Point well made. We can stipulate for such a period of time as there is general, unless and until there is general retail and it's just the showroom, the 8 o'clock stipulation would stand. We'd ask for permissions, and I thank you for guiding us there. If there were to be general retail, that would be permitted to go to 10 o'clock.
Well, with the additional condition that if in the reasonable judgment of our professionals, specifically Matt, that the lights can be dimmed while on, the applicant will work and comply with Matt to reach those dimmed lighting goals.
Yes, that is our offer, and it's as Mr. Chair, it's worked many times in other locations where the lights are actually observed, and then the actual intensity is controlled on each of the light fixtures. So we'd be comfortable with that.
Okay, Matt, you okay following up with that?
That's fine. I will follow up with that. No problem.
Okay, thank you. All right. Unless there's anything else from any of the board members, I would suggest that it would be an appropriate time for a motion. And if there is a motion that would be favorable, that motion would include the various stipulations that we discussed and have been offered by the applicant. So at this time, we'd look for a motion, unless there's any further discussion.
That would include that all the fire official comments are to be complied with, Mr. Shafai's report and technical recommendations are going to be complied with. There's going to be no outdoor display. There's going to be the storage of materials, records, and mechanicals. That's the only use for the basement. The roof mechanicals, if used, will be screened from the street. Septic is going to be redesigned to provide for a minimum of 25 feet distance from the building, and the issue regarding the dimming of lights within 30 minutes after closing, which will be for the proposed use 8 p.m., post general retail 10 p.m., working with the board professionals to achieve the proper mix.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, but did we ever get the shade tree comments? They had a request.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, this is Pam, and I do not have those comments. Mr. Shafai? Is Mr. Shafai there?
And it does require them to meet the Tree Commission's requirements, the condition of the approval.
With the understanding, Mr. Chair and members of the board, that we anticipate the Shade Tree Commission's request to be appropriate and reasonable, will agree to abide by that document prior to any resolution of memorialization, assuming that one is forthcoming. I'd reserve the right to read that carefully and thoroughly, and if there is an issue, I'll promptly notify the board.
Thank you. Okay.
That sounds exactly.
We have every expectation there'll be appropriate and reasonable requirements.
Okay, understood. So that would be a part of the conditions that Mike just outlined for us.
Yeah.
So with that, again, it'd be appropriate for a member of the board to consider a motion as to this pending application. In this circumstance, privilege of the chair, I'll make the motion to approve, subject to the conditions that were outlined by our board attorney and agreed to by the applicant. Would someone like to second that motion?
I'll second.
And that's Mr. Pato?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from any of the board members on a pending motion? Seeing none, Pam, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Chairman Newman?
Yes.
Mr. Pato?
Yes.
Mr. Beck?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Grabalia?
Yes.
Mr. Ziner?
Yes.
Ms. Curtis?
Yes.
And Mr. Arpaia? Is Mr. Arpaia there?
He's muted.
Yes.
Okay. That was Mr. Arpaia saying yes?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I couldn't see. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Unless there's anything else, I believe that concludes the application.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, board professionals, all, thank you very much for running such a well-organized meeting under these extremely unusual circumstances. I want you to know I'm sitting here saying I have the very, very slightest sense of what it's like to be a blind man. But thank you all.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you to the public also for navigating through this process with us. Pam, as I look at our agenda, the next items, there's no items listed for old or new business. Is there anything you want
to do? Yes, I would like, Mr. Stibe had sent to me this afternoon, but I had already left by then, information for everyone with reference to the governor's extension for the Permit Extension Act, and I just was hoping that maybe he could touch basis and just go over a few of those points. If not, I'm going to send that to everyone tomorrow.
Why don't you just send it out and let everyone digest it?
There you go. Digesting is wonderful. Yes, we'll do that. I will send that out to everyone, and the Shade Tree report as well that I got this afternoon.
Okay, so nothing else on our agenda for tonight, Pam?
Nothing else. I just want to make sure, as usual, I just want everyone to let me know that they can make the August 12th meeting. I know it's rough in the summer, but I just need to make sure that I have a quorum.
Okay, so you'll send us an email and we'll all say yes, of course?
That's correct.
Because there's no vacations anymore?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you for clearing that up. Anyone else on the board have anything before I entertain a motion to adjourn?
I want to thank Mr. Morris for helping out.
Yes, of course. Thank you. All right. Seeing no other business, I will make a motion to adjourn.
Quick question. Is this going to be the same venue for next month?
Yes.
Well, we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that.
We can discuss it, but for the moment, I'm saying yes.
We're going to discuss that. Correct?
It'll be an unfair discussion.
Yes, Mrs.
Yes.
D'Andrea, we're going to discuss that.
I'm going to win that one, but I'll discuss it.
You know what? We're going to discuss that.
Jeff, look what you did.
No.
Okay.
All right. I made a motion. Somebody seconded. All in favor?
Second. Bye. Second.
Bye. Okay. Bye. We are.
Thank you very much. Good night,
everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And Mr. Morris, stay on.
Good night.
See you tomorrow, Matt.
All right.
Good night, Mr. Beck. Good night, Angela. Good night, Mr. Ziner. Okay. Mr. Morris, you can stop recording this, and when you do receive the cloud, you can send that to me, if that's all right?
Absolutely.
Okay.